Jack and Jill here.
Hi.
Welcome to the Jack Jill Show, entertaining real estate investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I am Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about land sales automation. How can you make your life easy? How can you put all this stuff into a system and separate what you really need to do yourself personally and all the other tasks involved to converting land into money in your bank, personal bank account? I feel like I might learn something here.
Really?
Yeah.
How's that possible? You're the pro.
How's it possible? I learned. There is something. Because like, you always have a different take on it.
What are you talking about?
Compliment to you.
You're the pro.
Before we get into this, though, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Okay. Axel asks, good evening, all. Another beginner who is looking for some guidance. I have a buying website in place. I'm hooked up with Ring Central to manage my calls and faxes. I made my first mailer and I'm working all the leads. All of a sudden, I get a lead on my website. I was uncomfortable with the deal, but I got the price down and negotiated an option contract. The deal is 2.4 acres in X County, North Carolina, with a burned out mobile home on the lot. I have the land under the under option for $7,000 and we're trying to sell it for $15,000, meaning option to purchase for $7,000 and then hoping to sell it for $15,000 and he'll just keep that piece in the middle there. I do not have my selling website up yet. I have it posted on Craigslist and we're trying to get the posts cleared in landpin.com. Landwatch.com wanted a monthly subscription of $60 per month for one listing per month, right? Other places I'm thinking is Zillow and Trulia. Where else can I go to make this happen? Excited to have started down this path. Sincerely, Axel.
Okay. I have so much to say about this. I guess that's not that unusual. This is a great question, Axel. Congratulations. You're jumping in with both feet. Forget about the website piece. There are people in our group who don't have a website at all. They've been running their whole company for years.
Off Landpin.
And Craigslist and Landpin.
Yep.
Mobile homes with foundations. You stumbled on a diamond in the rough here. In fact, Jill and I are kicking around the idea after we get House Academy done to do Mobile Academy. And here's the concept. When a mobile home is grandfathered from a time standpoint and has a foundation, like this probably does, and it's got an old, ratty, worthless home on it, it's very easy for you, from a legal standpoint, to bulldoze that off of there and install a new one, or one that's really recent in age. And it doesn't cost that much money. You can buy mobile homes really inexpensively. It's probably going to cost you more to have it installed. And now you've got a brand spanking new or late model mobile home that's fully functional and that you have, it sounds like, optioned for $7,000, and it's probably worth a lot. So chances are, I'm not saying take all this on your first deal. I'm just saying if you can duplicate this on 2 acres, I mean, chances are if you plop down a $10,000 or $20,000 mobile home on this spot, you're going to be able to sell it for a heck of a lot more. Mm-hmm. So I would love for you to consider something like that. This, you know how Jill and I always say, oh, don't do anything to the property. Just, you know, buy it and resell it and double your money. You can do that here. Or you can really take a look at it and making some serious money on one deal here with not a lot of work. There's a lot of people in that business that are looking for this type of property. So I would really consider that. To answer your direct question, where do you post it? I'm going to sound like Captain Obvious here, but post it everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Don't forget social media.
Where would you post this? Because now it's a primary residence deal. It's not like a cabin lot.
I would really zero in on, you know, honestly, it's 2 acres. I would zero in on the social media of all the people in that zip code, in that area, because you can do that really easy on Facebook and do some targeted campaigns of for people in those areas. It doesn't matter what they're into. Just anybody in that zip code needs to see about this.
Jill and I haven't said it on the show lately, but our absolute favorite types of real estate, property related, are mobile home lots. Mm-hmm. We can't keep them in that. This is why you don't have your website up and somebody's already double, you're going to double your money here. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason for that. People love mobile home lots. And here's really, really why. Anybody who's ever lived in a mobile home and they usually own it, but they're paying lot rent, their dream is to like get rid of that, to put their mobile home lot, or buy a mobile home or put a mobile home on their own land and avoid that lot rent.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a great deal. This is a deal that these are the types of deals I actively look at, even since, you know, I've been in the business for 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
So congratulations.
Exactly.
Post it awesome. Everywhere, but I think it's going to sell before you even post it.
It may be sold by now.
Yeah.
I love
it. A little bit of a lag.
Exactly.
Today's topic, land sales automation. What is it? Why should you strive for it? And everything in between. This is the meat of the show. When I first heard this land automation, there's a group on Facebook that we belong to that somebody runs, I don't remember his name, from Canada. And we contribute to it quite often. When I first heard it, I'm like, what kind of hokey crazy thing is this? Automation. Automation's for Henry Ford. Or for manufacturing airplane parts. It's not for buying or selling real estate. Well, it turns out I was dead wrong. The more you can mechanize your process and treat every single piece of property with the exact same process, the more successful you're going to be. Luke Smith, one of our most successful members and most vocal members, has this down. This is one of the reasons he is so successful, and quite frankly, one of the reasons that Jill and I are. When we buy a piece of property, we treat it like it's going down the assembly line. There's a certain point where we create the posting and sell it, or we check with our A-list buyers. And so we have a whole checklist, just like a pilot does. Mm-hmm. They run down a checklist before they jump in the airplane. And that's what we do. So there's two types of tasks. You know, put them in two categories. Ones that you do yourself, you have to do yourself. And there's ones that you really can sub out or eliminate. A lot of cases eliminate. The caller, the person who asked this question, Axel here, used the word leads like three or four times in this question, and I believe that that word lead is antiquated and relatively useless.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a lead, then it means that you're opening a gate somewhere so that they can contact you to, air quotes, talk about selling a piece of real estate or buying it.
Right.
And what you should really be striving for is just having them check out.
I want a seller or a buyer. I don't only want a lead.
Yeah,
lead, just right. Lead is like, some interest.
Here's a good example of mechanizing that. So if you listen to the show at all, you know that we send out tons and tons of offers all over the planet. And the ones that come back signed, we don't just call those leads. We call them done.
Yeah, they are done.
There's a lot of leads that we generate this way.
Right.
To use that phrase. And you know what we do about those? Almost nothing.
Right.
We let the mail work for us. The people that sign it, we pull the low-hanging fruit off. We buy the property because we already know that the price is great because that's the one that was on a letter. And we do the same thing on the sell side. We post it and we say, check out here. Click on this button and check out. Mm-hmm. So a perfect deal for us is almost fully 100% automated, where no one has to talk at all. If anybody,
we're gonna get there, man,
talks at all, it's Jill and her staff to the seller, because they may need one more step.
Right.
Like, I think it was yesterday's show or two shows earlier, where I said, you know, Jill brought that last final touch to what I was trying to do a lot of years ago. She brought that human touch to it. But as far as sellers go, we don't coddle sellers almost ever. Maybe people in our staff do, but they won't by the time I get done with them later today.
I say, one of the things about this is one of the big reasons why we're here today. You are a pro at automating things. That's your number one thing. You are really good, Jack and Steven, at taking a step back and looking at things going, why are you doing that? Why can't we just put this into a system? You know that. We hear that all the time out of you. You know,
why it's awesome. Stapler? We talked about it yesterday.
So, and you know, like using others, the other thing is too, that you're really good as using others for menial tasks. And I've learned from you, and I've trained our people, you know, I have people in remote offices, remote locations, who have overseas assistants. I don't even know what goes on, but I mean, I know they're used the right way. We've talked about it. I've got them there. It's like, okay, why are you sitting here inputting all that data into X? That should be done by one of those people. Bing, got it. It took a little bit. It's funny how if some people have a hard time letting go a little bit. I think that's it too. When you're learning this business and you're starting out and it's all you and your one-man show, and then you get so busy, now your wife or your husband's helping you. Okay, that's great. Now it's getting so busy that, uh-oh, now I gotta bring in more people. I understand it's a little hard sometimes letting go and trusting. So start with those menial tasks. You've got to do it, because if you don't, you're never going to grow, because there's only so much time in the day and only so much you can do. So, but the menial behind the scene tasks that maybe don't involve talking to anybody and things like that, posting the properties, or I don't know, there's other little things, pulling up data, checking, maybe you get all the letters in, and it's a little thing like going to the county website and checking the back tax situation. That's a perfect one that you don't have to do, that you can hire out early on and someone else can do. That'll be a huge time saver, and they input it in the spreadsheet and then it's there for you. So
I mean, here's how I separate tasks I know that I can send overseas or send a staff. If I can do a short video on it, less than 2 minutes, on how it goes, getting property taxes is on a bunch of a list of properties, a perfect example. If I can go to XYZ website, record myself in the computer talking, saying, go here, go here, go here, type in the APN, and put it in the spreadsheet right here. If I can record it into a video and send it to somebody, that's a task you should never do yourself. So if you just start right there, I bet 80% of the stuff that you do during the whole acquisition sales process, you can break down into little videos and find somebody for $3 or $4 or $5 an hour that can do it for you overseas. Exactly. Or you get your niece to do it or something.
Exactly. And I would recommend, that's perfect. And that's what we do. We do make videos and it's awesome.
Yeah.
We even make videos, like we have a staff member who's going to be on vacation. So she's making videos for her fill-in person, so they know what to do. I'm like, it's brilliant. That's what should happen.
That's good.
And then it's always there. You know, should we need to hire, train, or whatever it is? You know, should move her on to something else? It's always there.
Used to be, back in the day, it was called policies and procedures. Can you put a policy and procedure manual together for your job?
Exactly.
And then no one would do it because they're like...
It's boring.
No, no one would do it because no one could do my job except me.
Oh. I love doing it. Pass on my work? Awesome. So I have more free time? Great.
I'm irreplaceable.
I love it. You know, and I would tell people too, start earlier. Start early. You know, start before you need it. Be thinking of growing. Be thinking of replacing yourself in those menial tasks. So you're ready for it, and you can free you up for the next phase of your business. Yep. And the next phase of what you want to do.
Right.
So it's just huge.
I mean, that brings up a good point. I saw this on Shark Tank recently, and I haven't stopped thinking about it. Some businesses are meant to be $200,000 or $300,000 a year businesses, and that's it. That's where they stop.
That's sad.
Some businesses are meant to be $1 billion or $1 trillion businesses. The business that you're in or about to get in is a multi-billion-dollar business. There are people out there who buy and sell real estate and make $1 billion. And it's all because they have some type of process that we're talking about that really works for them. And when one of the links in the chain breaks or bends, they adjust really quickly, or they have people that adjust it. It all starts with one person sitting in front of a computer in a dark room somewhere who hates their job and makes some changes. So congratulations, you picked the right business. Now you just have to get the processes down and get the right people in place.
I'm hung up on your example. I can't even imagine, you know, like, I know you're right. Like, say I had a yogurt, but here's my point. Say you and I had a yogurt shop, and it was only going to make, you know, enough to cover an extra $60,000 to pay a salary, you know what I mean, for the yogurt shop every year. And maybe a, you know, $60,000 employee who runs the whole thing and a $10,000 to $20,000 profit. I'd still be pushing it to bring in more customers,
you're crazy,
more flavors, more expensive toppings.
That's why I adore you.
I couldn't stop. I know. So
I'm the same way.
I know. I'm trying to
imagine. Then you'd be like, all right, this one makes $100,000. That's about it. Let's open another one.
Yeah, that's true. When I think I peaked, I would be doing another one. I'd still be trying to bring them both up even.
And then pretty soon you have 10 of them.
Right.
You're making $1 million a year.
Right.
And then you say, this is really silly because $1 million is silly. How about we franchise this thing?
Right. And there you go.
And then you're making, a ton of money. And then what would you say? I know exactly what you'd just say.
I'm going to go buy the land that it's on.
Let's go sell this thing.
I know.
It's not interesting anymore.
And move on.
And let's get her something. Let's buy another one. Or, the thing about real estate, though, is you don't have to go through that buying and selling. And some of that's healthy. But there's just more mail to send out and more deals to do.
Right. Well, the nice thing is real estate is like yogurt. I can... real estate is like yogurt.
I feel like there's a poster coming on. Real estate is like yogurt.
Here's why. Because you know what? I can have a yogurt today. I can have a yogurt tomorrow. And I can do it tomorrow and tomorrow. I'm going to weigh 300 pounds. But it's not a one-time use thing. I don't need it just once.
Repeat customer.
Exactly. Same with real estate. Because it's funny. I'm going to buy a house. I might live in it. I'm going to sell the house. I'm going to get another house. I'm going to live in it. I'm going to sell it. I'm going to get another house. It's not a one-time use. So that's beautiful, by the way. It's just our returns are much higher than a yogurt.
Yeah, I really think that. I often wonder, how much pre-thought does a small business owner really put into, like, spreadsheet pre-thought? Like, every time I walk into a restaurant, I look around and I say, all right, there's 42 seats. If there's two changeovers at breakfast, two changeovers at lunch, and one changeover at dinner, and each plate is, $12 a plate, how much is this restaurant going to make? You figure that all out. It's some number, $5,000-$6,000 a day. Potential, right?
Right.
And then you back off on that because it never happens. Wednesdays are less busy than Friday. So now you're back down to $4,000 a day, and with the staff and then the rent and the whole thing, there's no money.
I would like to add, welcome to my world. Isn't he a fun date? That's why we don't eat out very much.
Oh my God, we eat out every day.
I'm just kidding.
That's the stupid stuff that goes on in my head all day long.
I know that. I can see
you. Bad is it? How awful is it, truly?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why I often go, what are you thinking about? You walk in and you're like, you're looking off somewhere. I'm like, oh no, what's he looking at? He sees too much headcount right now. He sees there's too many staff sitting around, nothing to do.
Yes.
Yeah.
That happens
I know.
All the time.
I know that. Yeah, that gotcha. That's
so
true.
Out west here, In-N-Out Burger is really popular, and it's new to me because, I'm not from here. And every time I walk in there,
you're
I'm
impressed.
Like, this is a gold mine.
I know.
This is a modular building that they plop down. They have two, sometimes three lanes for, and people running out there with clipboards and electronics taking orders.
At the drive-thru.
Drive-thru is the most efficient thing there ever was.
Yeah. It's amazing.
I'm shocked that they even let you in the restaurant at all.
Yeah, they could just make it 100% drive-thru. Mm-hmm. I think you're right. Wouldn't that be? That's awesome.
And they have like four things on the menu.
Right.
And really, they're making about two things. They're making fries, bread, and patties, and then some cheese and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's brilliant.
It really is.
So that kind of thing, is that scalable now or repeatable? I go back and forth in my head.
I think it's repeatable.
I don't think it's scalable. I agree with you. I think software's scalable. Like, there's no better business than software.
Right. That's
true. Or subscription or publishing.
Right.
So that's what we're... Automation, to tie this all back in, is what we're striving for. That type of business where you can just repeat. Go to Las Vegas. Repeat the whole thing. Conquer the market.
Right.
Go to Miami. That's what we do.
Right.
Without really spending any real acquisition capital or any additional fixed costs. I mean, it truly is the way it's structured. Real estate is truly a fantastic opportunity, not to mention the income statement and balance sheet benefits. It's very rare to get both.
Yep.
Wow. Jill's very patient. Join us tomorrow for another interesting episode of the Land Investors Show.
And we answer your question, should you have one, post it on jackjill.com. Go there. It's free.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. All right. I just realized I kind of ranted and went on.
You kind of did.
How bad was it?
It was good. It was healthy. And I'm glad you feel better.
No, I just... I just have this insatiable need to, grow.
Here's why I rant. I rant because I'm mad at the situation. I think it's wrong. I'm really trying to right this wrong and help people. You know what I mean? I'm not ranting just because, hey, I didn't deserve that ticket. No, I did deserve the ticket. You know what I mean? You know, and I'm not happy, but, you know, I guess that's not really the best example. But when I rant about things that are done wrong in society, I'm really hoping to get somebody's attention and make it right. And like right with land sales automation, I don't think that was a rant. Well, I mean, but we're both encouraging people to do this the right way. Think ahead. Right. Think bigger, man.
Yeah, think big.
You know, there's nothing that you can't do. You could make this huge.
I had dinner with, Jill and I had dinner, this is about a year ago, with a buddy of ours, his friend. They're both retired. And this guy's buddy, who, he's from somewhere in Scandinavia. His he bought his son as a graduation gift, a tiny little condo. This guy parlayed that one real estate deal into $1 billion in equity in about 22 years. He traded up and traded up and traded up.
I don't even know who that is.
It's up in, we had lunch with them actually, it wasn't dinner. And their kids went to Palos Verde.
And he had the movie studio that he uses it now. That big.
He's got a manufacturing facility, and part of it's closed, and they use it as a movie, like a horror film movie studio.
Yeah, and he made like a part of it, like a hospital wing. They do a lot of hospital shows. I know what you're talking about. So yeah,
exactly.
Oh yeah, that's true. See, there
you
go.
Is it scalable technically? I'm not sure, but man, it's pretty close.
Yeah, that's awesome. Hey, if you think that's awesome, share the fun by subscribing on iTunes or wherever you're listening. And while you're at it, please rate us there. We are Jack and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.